6, and we're continuing our message that we started last week, Secret Service and Open Rewards. The first three sections of chapter number 6 speak of giving, prayer, forgiving, and also later on fasting, and then our law of riches in 19 through 24. We won't get into there today, but we're looking at these different parts of the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus took the disciples and gave them the teaching that they would need to have victory here on the earth and to further the gospel, to preach the Word of God, and then just Christian living. And so I love this chunk of Scripture, these three chapters. They're great on foundational stuff. They say, well, why do we do what we do? Why do we help poor people? Why do we... and outside of tithing, you don't hear a lot in church because a lot of times they think, well, if I just get through the church, like if I just tithe, right, then that's good. Now, that is good. I mean, that's what the Lord asks us to do. But then there's the, in your area, in your place, in your life. I mean, well, I give through the church, so I'm not going to help this person now. That doesn't sound very good. And that doesn't sound like Christianity. It's like, just help that person. Well, what do they need? Who knows? Ask them, you know, what do you need? Or you could see they have it written down, well, they just have a need, right? Maybe they need something to eat or whatever. It's like, okay, let's help this person. And that's kind of the gist of when we're talking about alms. Okay? It's alms and tithes, two different things. They're not used interchangeably. Alms to help on people that are in need. They have a need. Sometimes poor people. What did Jesus say? You have the poor, always. So you got job security with poor people. They say, well, you got handouts, and I promise you the system's been destroyed by welfare. It just has been. It's frustrating. Got guys burning buildings that never had a job. They don't even have a job. Government pays them. And that, I mean, you go on and on and on and on. Okay, and that can creep into your Christianity and say, well, I don't want to help them at all. I get it. I can understand that. I feel that at times. When you look in somebody's eyeballs, though, and see they have a need, and to help them. And so that's where we're going to... where we're going to start today. We're going to be down, actually down in 6. I thought we covered that well last week. We'll be in 6 and looking at prayer today. But thou, when thou prayest, verse 6 says, Father, we ask that you would help us today in this message, Lord. And we see that these things that you've asked us to do, we do them in secret, and not as those that would have them not be in secret. And Father, we see that our times are different than these times in proclaiming and things, but how much more things can be visible today, Father, with the internet and the social media. Lord, we say things, we do things, we put it out there for everybody to see. And help us, Lord, to do these things with the right motive, the right heart. We want to have people see you, Father, as we could continue the works that Christ did on this earth, going about and doing good, doing the right things. We pray that you bless Brother Finnis and the junior church downstairs, and pray that that will go well today. And we're so thankful for the men filling in with Brother Don and Miss D gone. We pray that you bless their trip. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before we get started, Brother Rich said it was a structure fire, it was a house fire down the road, and didn't look like, per se, ambulances. Like they were helping people, so hopefully nobody got hurt, but we'll check into that. But we'll thank him for sharing that. So, all right, verse 6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. It's important when you're trying to pray and listen that you're in a place where there isn't distractions. And that's the important part to get out of here, talking about a specific place, a closet to pray, a place that's enclosed, a place that's quiet. But if you can get into a place that's quiet, mothers know this. It's hard to find a place that's quiet. every mother's favorite hymn is Blessed Quietness, Holy Quietness, because it does, Mom! You know, it's like, oh my soul, you know, you either got to stay up late or get up really early. It's hard to find a quiet place. So you'll find out quickly, you'll pray in a lot of places, and when you have quiet, when they come. But it says, when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And we'll see more of that when we get into chapter 7, when we talk about asking and receiving. But we just get, you get in there and pray and ask. You get in there and pray and you ask. When I was studying for this, I was thinking like trying to terse my brain away from like the fishing and all those things. It's very difficult to do. So it's like the illustration of why some people are successful in praying or what they've perceived to see it be a success. That's not the idea about praying. Well, I'm praying so I have success. You pray because God wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to communicate. Prayer is talking to God. No matter whether you're asking anything, because we'll get down and get farther in chapter 6, we'll see there's more things than just asking God for stuff. There's telling Him things about Himself. There's thanking Him. There's asking for forgiveness. There's all these things. So it's not just, well, if I think I'm good at it, then I'm going to do it. No. It's a relationship. When people don't communicate, there's no relationship going on. None. Well, there's one on paper, and that's what counts. It does not. It's no good. You must communicate. Talk to God. Communicate. And so we see here in verse number 6 that we're going to talk to the Father. Pray. When we see pray in Scripture, pray means to ask. We see in Scripture where it says, I will pray so-and-so. And that just means you're going to ask that person. We don't talk that way now, but I mean, that's part of it too. You see, pray, it doesn't always, you say, well, somebody's down at the altar praying. No, they're maybe asking somebody something. And the Lord wants you to ask. If you have teenagers, you have young people, you know they don't talk in complete sentences, and they don't have introductions. Hey, I need, okay? Excuse me. I mean, it was important. If you answer the phone in our house, you had to say who you were. Hello, this is the Garner House. May I ask who's calling? And that's how Dad wanted the phone getting answered. It was important. Hey, or what do you want? No, you didn't do that because it could be a work person or something for work. No, you had to answer and say who you were and state your purpose. And so the Father, He wants to hear us communicate. The Bible says in verse number 7, when you pray, He expects it to happen. He expects it to happen. I expect young men to show up to weights this summer, Jared. Not Jared, but the other. He knows what I'm talking about. Well, no, we're going to show up when football starts. Not going to go so well, right? It's not going to work. You have to put in the work now. So when it comes time to use all that which you built up, then He expects it. I expect it of them. He expects it of us to pray. Lord, I'm not very good at this because, we don't talk very often. Oh, my soul. Yeah, exactly. That's the truth right there, right? Pray. Pray often. Talk to God often. It doesn't have to be long, but it should be often. It should be often. How much do you love the Lord? Well, I just love the Lord. How much do you talk to Him? Well, it just sounds good when I say it. I love the Lord. That's why I say it. Not that I actually do. It just sounds good when I say it. Maybe it makes other people think well of me. I love the Lord. No, pray and don't say anything else. Lord, does this person love you? That's the real question. Not you saying you do. It's what does God say? No, they do. He loves me. That's the difference. It's your praying work. We talked about it in men's Sunday school. Ladies are talking about our weapons of our work and talking about prayer. Does it work? When hell comes knocking, does your weapons work? Do they work? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Do they work? We use them all the time. Use them often. Use them that you're familiar with them, that you can go to God and you can talk to God. Verse 7, when you pray, use not vain repetitions. What are we talking about? Saying the same thing over and over again? We've heard it. This passage of Scripture has been turned into it. It just is what it is. Oh, Pastor, that's so good. Kids were praying before the ball game. Yeah, I get down there in the middle of them and listen to it. Most of it's this. And one of them knows the Lord. I've been there. I get it. The idea is this, though. They're just coming together and saying the same thing so they're on common ground. The kids at the high school, this one kid came through. I don't even know if he's a Christian or not. He wrote a prayer on his locker door on the inside. Now I have like oak, or nice, no, I don't have oak lockers. I didn't say that. Colleges have nice lockers. These ones are nice. The guy, they made them. One of the scouts made them for a project. They're nice. But they're not open. But anyhow, they used to have metal lockers, right? The old metal lockers, right? And so this kid, he wrote a prayer out on his locker. It's pretty good. It's not too bad. I mean, it's kind of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I mean, it has the team theme of you know, having to be about us and not me and all these things on there. Well, they recite that joke. There's a rock that has Fred Mocketant's plaque on it. Fred Mocketant's a world famous painter from Palmer area. I don't know if he's born and raised in Palmer, but I know that's where he died. But if you ever see Fred Mocketant, he's really well known for his Alaska sky stuff and the ice. He can make the orange, the blue, and the white. But I mean, the stuff you see in the wintertime, that's like his marquee stuff. Eskimo stuff, walruses, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Polar bears, see it, you'll know. Oh, that was a Mocketant's painting. Anyways, there's this rock down there, right? There's this rock. So the kids all go to the rock, and they say the words, and they run out. Are you getting it? No, I don't give a rip about the rock. It's big to them. It ain't big to me. Okay? Because I just say, man, if you actually did what was written on that locker, we wouldn't have to coach half as hard. You know, it'd be all good. Oh, but we went to the rock! Oh, boy, we rubbed the turtle, right? Maryland Terrapins, they go out. They got a big old turtle before the field. Terrapins, they go, I'll rub the turtle. It's all the traditional stuff. Oh, we did the walk. We're in Auburn. We did the War Eagle walk. We did the chant. Yeah, you got beat by 30 points. But you did the walk, let's go. You know, isn't that exciting? No. Oh, I prayed. Did it work? Did you get a hold of God? That's what you should care about. Did I get a hold of God when I prayed? Oh, I did my thing. I said my words. Okay, now, hey, I get it. We're teaching our kids how to pray, right? Well, what do I say, right? They need to listen to you pray to know what to say, right? And just keep it short. Pray with them at bedtime. Pray. And say, would you like to pray? No, I don't want to pray. Well, start out with just thankful. Aren't you glad that God did this? Well, yeah. Well, that's all you got to tell them. Tell them thank you for doing this. Okay. And you just start out with thanking. I mean, just little steps. Little steps, but it's like, well, they should learn how to pray. They ever listen to you pray? Well, how are they going to learn? How do they learn anything? By seeing somebody do it, hearing somebody say it. Right? I mean, they got to learn that way. So that's how we pass that stuff on. I don't have a prayer class. We'll drop you off the church. You're going to learn how to pray with a preacher. No, you teach them how to pray. Get in the book, teach them how to pray. Jesus teaches us all how to pray. This is the Lord Jesus talking here. Okay? I was going to teach somebody who was here the other day. Oh, I got the words of Jesus read in my Bible. I don't. I just know when he's talking. I didn't want to say that because I didn't want to sound like a schmuck. But it's true. You know when Jesus is talking. And he tells us how. Well, this is exactly how we get started. So when I want to talk this morning about prayer, you think about prayer like launching out. You get to the boat ramp and you launch out. With the intent to catch fish, by the way, okay? So you're not just going out pleasuring by the Tom and the canoe. There's a motive there. I can't wait to see that, by the way. One of these days, I'm going to drive by Mirror Lake and say, there's, and when I do see you, I'm going to drive down the parking lot, yell and wave at you, clear across forever. But anyhow, I'm going to go out and do it. And I tell people, look, if you want to catch more fish, you need to think like food. You need to think just like what they're after. Because if you do that, then you go to where that's at, and they won't be far away. You'll be right in there. And I said, and if you know a little bit about what those things do, sometimes they're here, and sometimes they're over here, and sometimes they're over here. And then you got to work at it. You got to figure it out. You got to check stuff out. You got to go around. Well, I just go sit and cast, and then nothing happens. Yeah, that's boring. That's lame. I think fish just live in one spot. No, they move around. You know, I mean, they do all kinds of stuff. You got to have to think this way. Right? So you're out there and you're going about and you're doing this, and it's not random. You're working the system. You're working in sense, I'm trying this, I'm going here, I'm looking for this. It's not haphazard. And people get frustrated in prayer because we pray randomly. But just pray here and there. And maybe it worked, maybe it didn't work, right? And our idea of prayer is we just get what we want. That's all it is. We just get what we want, right? We're praying like we're eight. Mom, I want this. Okay, here you go. Mom, I want this. Not today. Oh, didn't work. That's not what it's talking about. It's a relationship. God wants us to talk to him and do it in secret. Do it in secret. Vain repetitions, as the heathen do. So that means the heathen were what? The heathen were praying. Do the heathen pray? Oh, yeah. I would think the heathen on the outside appearance would appear more fervent in prayer than some Christians. There they are. They're praying to what we don't know and to whom we don't know, but they're doing it, okay? So let's get that out of the way right now. That, look, there are a lot of people that pray, okay? Praying is asking. There's a lot of people that pray. Who are they praying to? Wednesday night, we talked about the object of our faith being the Lord Jesus, what our faith is in. Who are we praying to? Jesus says, pray to the who? Pray to the Father. Why? He's in control of everything. He's in control. Pray to the Father. The Bible says they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Okay? Guys have a harder time than this when the ladies, when the girls hear a child, they all their ears perk up, right? Scream, yell, hope. Was it mine? And that's like, I would think, man, that sounded like mine, but it wasn't mine. And the father's even horrible. He's like, is that murder or is that bloody murder? Because then that determines I'll actually have to go and do something, right? But the moms are like, oh, no, that's just murder. That ain't bloody murder. It's everybody okay. No blood there, right? But you can hear it. I don't have to read you a book. Mom, I need help. Right? And off we go. Right? That is the idea of the father. He will help us. He hears us. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I mean, it's pretty cool, the animals. You see animals, you see somebody else, and you see somebody that they know, and then they just one thing, a whistle of this or that, and here they go. Why? Because they know the voice. Animals, I mean, they're trained to sounds. I remember we first started with chickens. And the kids, I mean, just about any animal, you shake grain in a pail, here they come. I mean, you shake rocks in a pail. I mean, but it's better if you have corn in there. And you just, here they come. Crazy, I mean, just, you go to places where you feed fish and you stick your money in. I don't do this, I watch other people. But anyway, you stick your money in there, crank it out, and get your fish food, throw it in the water, here they come. Oh, you can take a handful of gravel and throw it in the water. Here come the fish and watch them eat the gravel. I mean, they're just like, whoop, here they come. They're trained to do it. For us, we're trained to pray. We're to pray to the Father. We don't have to use vain repetitions. We don't have to speak a lot. Verse 8. So we've launched out. We're not going to fish randomly. We're going to work it. We're going to figure it out. We're going to check sections. Because we've done our homework beforehand. And we know the deep end's down there. And the shallow end's down there. And we know that we're there at the right time. Don't show up at noon. Okay? They're all going to be taking a nap, right? Come low light. Come early morning. Come late evening. Okay? That'll help you. Okay? Light will be in your favor. Right? And now you're not going to be random. One of our sayings in fishing, random casts catch random fish. You got to work it. You got to figure out, where am I going to be? Where's my likely chances? Guys that fly fish, a lot of times they just watch and wait. What are they waiting for? The hatch. What's the hatch? I thought we were going fishing. Were they fish hatching eggs? No, the bugs. The bugs start hatching and breaking the surface. It's all about biology. Here they come. Every now and again you see this ring. Oh, what was that? Oh, see, that's what we've been waiting for, right? There's a fish coming up. He's getting ready. It's like, oh, here we go, right? When you pray, God says, you don't know what you're praying for. Romans 8, Bible says, Holy Spirit show you what to pray for. He shows you what to pray for, then you pray. What are you waiting for? One of them rings. Preacher said there'd be rings because bugs come. Oh, there's another one. Oh. And we call it the rise. Here they come. Now the fish are rising. Are the fish rising? That's all you have to tell fishermen. Hey, fish are rising. Oh, right. The whole world could be on fire. And you just, all right, here we go. Right, because it's time. It's time. Well, I was there for 5 hours and nothing. It wasn't the hatch. Wasn't the right time, right? I prayed. Is timing important in prayer? I think it is. God asks you to pray for something and you don't pray for it. Then the event that needed pray for is past. And they go, oh, I'll pray for it now. It's over. Why pray now for that? Why pray? So we got to be sensitive to these things. So when we launch out, we're saying, we're going and we're going into it. Jesus says, pray to the Father. Okay? Pray to the Father. What would you say to your Father if you saw him? If he was the next person you saw, what would you say? You know, what would you say to him?
Hey.
No, I don't. I try to always do the salutations in the morning. I like, I try to be overbearing and loud, but I think, good morning. How'd you sleep? all's well. It'll get better. I know it's a phase, but that's our phase. That's where we're at right now. This one right here, he'll come down. If he's really tired, sometimes he'll get up and he'll come down and just put his head down. I'm still tired, but he'll come sit by me. So I said, oh, that's good. If he's feeling good, he'll walk past. Need anything for breakfast? Nope. What do you say to him? So when we read these next few verses, it is not a, this is what you say. No, it could be. The problem is this is all I say when I pray. Okay. I say the same thing over and over and over again. It just loses it. So I look at it this way. Hey, we've launched out, and this is the part that we're working in prayer. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Well, I'm just going to be different than the heathen, because that's what God said. No. Not, being different is not the thing. Okay. It's getting a hold of the Lord, getting a hold of God. The Bible says, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Then some say, why pray? If He just knows, then why pray? Because He wants you to talk to Him. Prayer is for you. Prayer is for me. God need more prayer? You look in there and say, I'd be whole if they just pray to me. No, He wants us to pray to Him. He wants us to love Him. Prayer is for us. And it's a privilege to pray, by the way. It's a privilege. It's not a have to. It's we get to pray. We get to talk to God. I don't have to talk to a marble statue cut out of stone by men's hands that's going to rot away into some disfigured, unrecognizable mass over time, has no power, can't help. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You tell the Lord, Lord, you are everything. And this is that you can, this has to be settled in your heart. You know, oftentimes I'll remind him about his record when I'm in doubt of it, right? You think something's going to happen. Say, Lord, you've never lost, ever, ever. And I'm feeling pretty good right now. And I'm with you, okay? And here we go. And you're reminding yourself of these things. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is privileged, honored, held up in esteem. Bunch of meanings. Thy kingdom come. Means more than anything else, you'd rather be with the Lord. Right? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will, it's important when we pray that we get this. Jesus says, pray to the Father, and you tell Him, thy will be done. You can tell Him your heart. That's okay. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But don't pin God in the corner and say, I want you to fulfill all the things in my heart. Because you're going to get disappointed, right? I'm a pink pony with purple mane. I don't want it to be, you know, however many hands high. I'm not the horse person. I can't remember how. I was going to make him too big a horse or too small a one. But anyhow, I want this, and it's got to be that. And no. Thy will be done. Lord, you know. If it's your kid, and the doctor says, I don't think they're going to make it, what are you going to ask for? What would you pray? Oh, God, take it back to... No. That's not even realistic. You need to face reality and pray. God, what? Thy will be done. And you may not even get that much out. But think about it. That's what God wants. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Yes. Did you frame everything? Go back in Job and look. He don't play soft with Job. He flat tells Job, where were you? Did I ask you? How many of you ever say that to your kids? Oh, I said it once or twice. Coach, but I don't want to ask you. We're learning. We're getting there. But praise the Lord. It's a lot of fun. I hear you. But it doesn't much matter, right? Because this is the way we're going. God says, do you trust me? Yes, Lord. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Father, we want it to be the same here, right? You can't control everybody else, but you can control what goes on in your heart. The Bible says keep it with all diligence, right? And so you can keep a little piece of the kingdom in your own heart and say, Lord, Lord, you're in control here. Can't control what's out there. You know what's out there. It's craziness. Absolute craziness. Stuff that goes on, you listen to people talk, and you're like, oh, my soul. Truth doesn't matter anymore. It's just becoming so apparent. You got to stay with it, though. You got to stay with it. Through all these crazy times, you got to stick to the truth because people are going to come around. And some of these people that are just in the crowd going, yeah, what they said, it's not going to work for them after a while. And they're going to have to see some people that are halfway normal saying the truth and like, yeah, that sounds more normal. We're coming over here. You know, back to the truth. Back to what God says is true. Verse 11, notice it's not this huge list. Okay? That's the other thing to notice in this prayer. You read through this, it doesn't take very long to get through this. Doesn't, not very long. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord, and four freezers. I have two freezers, and it's okay because God knows the fish come in waves. In waves. You got to be ready for them. You got. Oh, man. God, he knows when that 50-incher is going to walk into the yard, Brother Rich. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm holding out, and I'm buying my lettuce and my vegetables today. No, I wouldn't. You just never know. You never know. God's going to fill that thing. But I pray. Mrs. Garner makes me sourdough bread. I cut off a slice of it, and I know she's going to make it, and I know the bread got grown, the wheat got grown somewhere, and I got this and that, and I'm having it. What do? I just thank him for the bread. Thank you for my bread. And in my mind and in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, we're Americans and we don't even have a clue. We have no idea. Most Americans can't spell famine. Spell famine. Well, I'm hungry. No, I'm talking about like no food, like none. Like we're eating the bark off of trees like the moose. You know, I mean, you go around now and you're like, okay, that tree's pretty scarred up. You know, the moose's like, oh, I'll stop here for a while. Imagine eating bark. There are people in this world that eat dirt, and they eat bark just to have something in their stomach. I have no idea. No idea. They're grateful, thankful. We get around the table when we pray. Somebody don't want to pray, I say, hey, you have at least. I said, we can't go on until you're at least grateful. At least grateful. Then I'll be thankful. So you at least got to be grateful. You got to acknowledge what God's done for us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh yeah, these are the college kids on campus that want their education debts forgiven, and they just want it all thrown out, right? That's them, right? No, that's not what it's talking about. God's about principle. God's about repaying. He's about those things. He's about us honoring those things. When this comes to debt, it's not talking about money. It's not what it's talking about. When we talk about debts, when somebody does something to you, okay, that wasn't right, you have a choice. How to respond to that. The Bible says in Proverbs, it's the glory of a man to overlook a transgression and to praise. Well, how are they ever going to learn? They'll learn. They'll get God's whooping. I mean, think about it. God says that that's going to work to say, you know what? I could overlook what this person did to me. I could forgive them. I could praise them and say, you know what? It's okay. Next time, it's okay. That's right. Don't worry about that. And then Peter helps us all out. How many times, Lord? I may not be able to handle this, right? That's the answer of the flesh, by the way, okay? I may not be. Yeah, your flesh won't. You'll grow weary, and you're like, I just want this person out of my life. God's working on that person. You think about the masterpieces of the world that people travel and pay good money to go look at. They're all done overnight, weren't they? Rushmore was done overnight, Sistine Chapel overnight, all these things, overnight. They took years. Years. I mean, you imagine you're starting. You can see it. God can see it. Nobody else can. I'm going to bed. You go to bed. I'm going on vacation. But it's not done. No, don't worry. It will be. They get it all finished and they go see this thing. It takes time. It takes time. God's working on these people. I forgave him once. Do I have to do it again? Yes. God's working on these people. Well, why doesn't he work on it? Why does he have to use me? We signed up to be his. I mean, we want to be used of God. So when we look at debts here, not talking about money. And one thing that will help you in Christianity is don't lend or borrow to Christians. Give them if they have a need. The Bible says just give it. If you can meet it, they ask, and you can do it, just give it. Okay? I mean, tell you what you're doing, but I mean, you want to talk about ruining churches? Start lending money to church members. And,
oh yeah, and pay me back. Oh,
man, that is bad news. We don't want to do that. Don't do that. So, I mean, praise the Lord. But anyways, you can give. You can do that. But as far as debts, be willing to forgive, quick to forgive. Bible says in 13, lead us not into temptation. Right? See, on the lake, there's a fallen tree in the water. And you know, you've driven by there before, there's always this big fish that lives underneath that tree. He's always there. That tree is adorned like a Christmas tree with the failed attempts of past fishermen. Panther Martin here, a warden's rooster tail over here. I mean, go to the Russian River. There's Christmas trees down there. I mean, you got to wait out for a few weeks after opening them. But Brother Brent, they're just like, there's a red one, a green one, a purple one, another yellow one, a red. Ooh, that one's got split shards down there. Oh, they say, wow. Oh, man, that guy was way off. Look how high that one is. You know, and you're just like, they're everywhere. They're all over the place, right? I've got all these fish out here rising. But you want the one under the tree over here. God said, no, you stay out of there. Get over here. You're not going to get all tangled up and caught up and all this stuff. And we used to practice with the kids. We would practice walking around the yard with our rods. This is before when we would come up in vacation. Because we would go up to Sheep Creek, or we go up to Goose Creek, and you're walking in, you know, 25, 30 minutes, and they're little. I mean, they're, I don't know, they're out of the Kelty pack, 2 and 4. Pretty drastic. But anyways, we were walking around the yard, and showing them how to carry the rod, you know, and you have to hold it backwards, just don't walk the tip out front, because you'll stick it in the dirt and break the tip off. I said, we're a long way from nowhere. So I said, you carry it backwards, break it down, do all that stuff, walking in. All right, now we're there, and we're going to cast. So you really practice casting for laughs in your backyard and pass question. We did. I said, it's not very far. I said, this creek's not very wide. I said, we're just going to, just a lob. I said, underhand. Remember, they're like 4. What are you doing? Fish right there. Well, I'm sorry, Dad. What are you doing? This isn't how we practice. All right, dial it down. Go for a walk, Dad. Come on. Right. Hey, just the underhand. Just a little. Right? That's all it takes, right? So all these fish out over here. All this stuff out here. And we got to be after this one over here. Right? Hey, let's stick with what God's given us. Let's do that. We get out here and pray. Don't get tangled up in 13, it says, lead us not into temptation. You think the Lord's going to do that? Flesh is going to be like, oh, what about? No. Bible says, deliver us from what? Evil. Just deliver us from evil. All right? Keep us from it. We may be in the midst of it. Okay? We may be in the very midst of it, but keep us while we're in the midst of it. Up here. That's all he's asking. Lord, keep my brain. Keep my heart straight. Help me to think correctly. For thine is the kingdom. And look what it says in 13, and the power. You have all the power. You need to remind yourself of that over and over again, that God's got all the power. He's got it all. Oh, but Lord, the Russians. Lord, the Russians. I know. And they're messing with our fishermen too. That kind of like irks me a little bit. They buzzed some of the crabbing boats out and they're talking to him. You're in danger. And the guy said, he said, these planes are coming down and circling them. Anybody see that on the news? Anyways, the guy said, he's like, they're close enough to throw a rock at this airplane. These guys are talking to him. Just being bullies. Why? Just picking on them. Just whatever. Oh, no. They've been doing it for a long time, right? You know, it's no surprise. We're up here. Just is what it is. He has all the power, though. All the power. All of it. You need to be convinced of that. And the glory forever. 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Okay? Because you're related to Him. God's got a forgiver. Does God forgive? Yes, He does. as His children, we need to forgive. Is God a giver? Yes, He is. We need to forgive. Is God a lover? Is God somebody that loves? We need to love people. Yes, we do. So, going from there to 15, if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Okay. Going from 14, is God like this? Yes, He is. Am I His child? Yes, I am. So what should I show? Attributes of the Father. Not my own, I don't know, today is kind of a rough day, I don't think I will. Will God do it? Yes, He would. Then I'm going to do it. I mean, if you think about this, Lord, am I going to get in trouble if I show grace to this person? How much trouble am I going to get for forgiving this person? I just want to know up front, show me. Too much kindness? Okay, we'll dial it back. You know? I mean, it's just, the Lord's not going to say, you're awful kind there, awful gracious. Oh, you went overboard on mercy. Overboard. Gonna have to dial it back a little bit. Too much mercy. Oh, grace? Was that free? Is grace free? You're just giving it away. Unbelievable. What's going on here? I mean, it sounds ridiculous, because it is, right? Because most of the time when it comes to grace, we're like crowbarring the wallet open, you know. There's 50 cents of grace. Mercy. No, wait, that's too much mercy. Right? No, you're not going to get in trouble. Forgive. Be gracious to people. They're going to come to you bewildered and say, why are you so kind to me? And there you go. Then you can give them an answer. It's because God is kind to me. That's why. Blow their mind. Help them to think about God. That's how you get in. A lot of people say, man, they're a tough nut. It's going to take a long time. Yeah, it's going to take a long time. Those people are, it just takes a long time. There's a lot of tough nuts in Alaska for whatever reason, okay? But love on them. Love on them. Well, when we pray, He says when you pray, He expects you to. He expects you to. And boy, do I just, is this random here, random here? I wait. Wait for the hatch. What do you, Lord, what would you have? I mean, you're thinking about some Lord's hatch. Well, you should pray for this person. Right? They read all the prayer letters and they say, pray for this and pray for this and pray for this and pray for this and pray for this. Right? It's always a huge list. Right? It's like, God, you know what these people need. I can't even pronounce that person's name, but you know who they are, where they are, what they're going through. God, I pray that you'd help them and you would do these things. Keep it simple. Don't make praying weird. Right? Don't be, you know, like getting all sorts of weird stuff. Pray. Pray whenever God have you to pray. Right? God puts something on your heart, but He expects us to. And the Bible admonishes us to pray often, to talk to God often. So much of it is for us. It's for us. And knowing that He has all the power and knowing that His will is more important than anything we could ever want. And if you have to, put yourself in a hypothetical, in a drastic situation. If there was something and you had, what would you say? Thy will be done. Is that enough for you? We sing it as well with my soul. That's the prayer of that. Lord, your will be done. Whatever you'd have. Okay, I'm taking this person home. Okay, that's going to sting a little bit maybe. But your will be done. And with all the things that God has given you, right, be thankful for those things. And tell Him so in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I don't think He ever says, well, you've said that already. I think He likes to hear it. As a father, I don't tell my kids, oh, man, I don't know, you've said thank you too much, right? Got off the bus the other day, told all the kids that you tell our bus driver, thank you, right? We told the opposing coach who set the field up and ref for us, thank you. Why? Because it matters. It matters. Are you going to learn gratefulness? Are you going to learn thankfulness? How do we talk to God? A lot of times, how do we talk to other people when it's correct? We give them a salutation. And we tell them something kind, something nice. We thank them. We ask for forgiveness sometimes. I don't ever ask forgiveness. That was means I was wrong. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to learn how to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I can't remember all Pastor Paisley's sayings. 14 words that will save your marriage. I can't remember. I have to write them all down to make sure I get them all. Basically, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. He said, I'll save about any marriage. It'll save your marriage, Brother Keith. Oh, my soul. It's true. It's so true. But then on the flip side, are you willing to forgive? Are we willing to forgive? God stingy with forgiveness? I don't think he is. I think he forgives a whole lot. A whole lot. Let's stand this morning. We'll sing. Secret service, open rewards. Secret service, open rewards. 283 this morning. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Two 283.